you have are on the verge of retirement or have already retired. Some of you may have lost loved ones. But all of these are areas of our life that we've got to recalibrate. There are seasons in our life that we must change. If we don't, then we're going to break. And so I want to encourage you and remind you that churches, too, go through stages. They go through seasons. And change is inevitable. And we're either going to live or we're going to die. There are many churches, as you know, even in our own area, that are on life support. They are hanging on, and they're not going to last very much longer unless a next generation rises up. So the question I want to present to you here today is the title of my sermon, Where Do We Go From Here? And so this is kind of a mission sermon. Next week is Thanksgiving service. And so if you will come in next week, and if you have a short testimony, we're going to have some popcorn testimonies, some things that maybe you can think about this week that you've been grateful for, that God has done in your life, and you want to give him praise. And so we want to give you that opportunity next week just to kind of give thanks to the Lord. So it's always a good question to ask, where do we go from here? So we're going to go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look into the life of Paul here in this chapter. And so we're going to read it, and we're going to have some commentary on it. And then I want to show you two areas that I feel that is the Macedonian call for our church at this moment. And so I want 2026 to be a year of vision. I want next year to be a year that we kind of put our back to the plow, I guess, and get some things done. And so we have to sell you on that. And so there's some of us already sold, some of us are already treading down that wheel, but we need all of you to come along with us. But I want you to notice in that title of that sermon, it says, where do we go from there? And that's important, that we're all traveling down the same road together. We. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. In business, there is something called the law of momentum. And if you are familiar with the writings of John Maxwell, this is something that he kind of presents in a lot of his teachings. He calls it the Big Mo. I don't know if you've ever read any of his writings, but that is an emphasis on one of the things that he says, if you're going to be successful as an organization, a business, a church, you need to have the Big Mo. And so what are we talking about? What's the Big Mo? It's momentum. And we all know that the hardest part of getting something to move is to get it started. Most of us at one time in our life had to push a car. For whatever reason, whether it got stuck or we had mechanical problems, we had to push a car. And so how many know that the initial effort to get that thing moving is very difficult? And so once it gets moving, how many know, once those wheels get turning, all right, it's easier to push. One of the first parts of the Isaac Newton's law of motion states that an object continues in its state of rest or motion unless compelled to change that state by an external force. And we all know here today that we know that it does take a lot of effort to push a car, to get something moving. It's always easier to push something, to get something moving that's already moving. But when something's at rest, it is very difficult to do that. How many know sometimes it's very difficult to motivate your kids? When you ask them to do something, sometimes they acknowledge that they heard you, but sometimes they don't. But how many know it takes a push, or yelling, or threatening, or something to get them to do what you've asked them to do, right? It's trying to get them motivated to do what you want them to do. And so even in church, sometimes it's very difficult to get something moving. And so we want to keep that in mind as we're going through here, that there is a law of momentum. Once it gets started, it begins to take on a life itself, and there's energy produced, and it begins to move. Paul was a man of motion. He was an individual. I believe that Paul had ADHD. He wasn't a man to sit still. He wasn't a man just to waste his time, but he was a very man, an individual who was very motivated in getting things done. He was a self-starter. And because he was a self-starter, he motivated those that were around him. And so in Acts 16, we see that Paul was launching his second missionary journey. He had a little bit of a fallout with Barnabas over his cousin or his nephew, John Mark. And so Paul had to assemble a new team. And so Paul assembles Silas. In the story that we read, he picks up Timothy on the way. And you're going to find out that Luke has a part in this, on this team as well. So Paul was making some difficult decisions. He had chosen Timothy, and I don't know if you were Timothy and you were invited to join Paul's team, and the first thing he says, I want you to get circumcised.
Ouch.
You know, you ladies think you have it tough with all your little things that you go through, but us men, we're vulnerable, and that is a vulnerable place. So circumcision, there was a choice that had to be made, and Timothy was willing to pay the price, what? To join Paul's team. So there were some difficult decisions. Paul was a man under authority because he was told what to present the decision from Jerusalem to all the churches. There was four roles. We're not going to go through the four roles, but he was to reach out to the Gentiles and not put more of a burden on them than was necessary. And one of them was circumcision. Paul was a man under authority. He was accountable to those that were above him. Paul was, I don't like the word successful, but Paul was successful in his ministry because we see here that the churches that he was visiting, this is his second round, he was already there earlier in his first missionary journey. He was going on, revisiting them and going on to new places. And the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they were growing in numbers daily. And we understand that most people, most organizations lose momentum once they have experienced some success. Because we get comfortable, we get complacent. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? And so we can find ourselves in a place like that as a church. And verse 5, let me read that again. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And if we could look at our church and we could say, if these things were going on, this would be a great place to camp. To put down our roots, to put down our stakes and say, hey, what we're doing is working. Let's just stay here for a while. But many would be tempted to do that, okay? And the problem with that is even with our church is we, as individuals, as a church, how many know you attract people just like you? Is that safe to say here today? And so if we stay the same way we are, guess what? We're going to try to attract those that are the same as we are. Because if they're not and they come in, what do? We have this idea of trying to mold them into our image. We want them to fall into cadence with what we're doing. Left, right, left, right. We want them to be and going in the same direction as we want them to have the same mindset. And we want them to do what we're doing. But if they come in and they're different and they have a different idea, then we kind of say, well, you know, you're kind of rebellious. You're kind of what? You're a maverick, you know, and that just doesn't fit here. And the truth is, a lot of people have found that God has not called us to conformity. He has called us to transformation. And so we need to be careful about the danger. We don't want to camp where we're at. So If not guarded, I'm going to read my note here, okay. The tendency would be to become self-absorbed and inward focused. Okay? All right. How many know the Chapel on the Hill has a rich history? It has an incredible story. Begins with what? A prayer meeting, right? Moves to a grange. They find some property on this hill where the wind blows 100 miles an hour all winter long, right? They build a facility. All along the way, the church was strengthened. It was growing in numbers. It was healthy and vibrant. Wouldn't you say that? It was healthy and vibrant. And they were producing some leaders. Leaders have risen up within the church and have gone. For one of our questions for our grants was, give us a history of the church. And I thought it would be a good idea to put in there for the grant that this church has produced leaders. And I called up Pastor Chris and Pastor Jude and asked them, how many people do you think are in the ministry today because of this church? And so they kind of got back to me, and they were estimating probably at least 20 or in the low 20s of individuals that have risen up within this church and are now in ministry. And that is a good testimony. That is a good story. We also know the story of planting Transformation Church, and I believe they planted one before that that kind of had its issues, but we see that they planted a church. These were things that what were created from momentum. You see the momentum growing, 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 and then we kind of hit COVID and kind of slowed some things down. And so at this point, we've been here for 5 years. Some of you might say that's a long 5 years. I don't know. Or 5 years too many. I don't know. But what I want to encourage you here today is that the honeymoon's over. We're going to start setting some goals. We are going to start visionizing, and we're going to start moving forward. We need to kick back into that momentum that was started here so many years ago. And so a legitimate question for us here today is, where do we go from here? What are we going to do? Many of you are familiar with Dan Hurlbrink. He was raised in this church. I believe he was saved, right, in this church. Raised up, and God called him to be a missionary to Romania, where he now has the Barnabas Ministries. How many know that Dan is a visionary? How many know that he is spiritually engaged? That he is a dreamer? That when he gets one project done, how many know he already has two already in mind down the road? He's already going down the road before all of us. Dan has big, hairy, audacious goals. You ever heard that expression before? Right? If you put those initials up there, right? Big, hairy, audacious goals. He has those things. He is experiencing momentum. Would you say that? For those that are involved with Barnabas, you know. But remind you here this morning that the hardest part about momentum is getting something started. And we're not in the start and stop, start and stop, start and stop business. We are always to be what? Moving forward, having momentum, always foreseeing what the future holds and what God wants us to do. So what are Chapel's big, hairy, audacious goals? If we asked around the room, we'd probably all have some idea of what we think we should be doing. But in some ways, we have taken on the personality of, we have built a building here, and they should be coming. I believe we've become a little bit inward focused more than we have outward focused. And I would like to, in 2026, give us a little push to get things moving. If we go back to Acts 16, Paul did not remain in Derbe. He did not stay in Lystra or Iconium. He did not stay in the cities that were there. You remember, the church was getting stronger. They were growing in their faith. They were growing in numbers. And if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, why wouldn't you want to be in that place where things are growing and things are happening? That wasn't Paul's idea, and I don't believe that's God's idea for us here today. Paul had an itch to keep things moving, to go to new frontiers. And I have an itch here this morning to expand our vision for 2026. So the most important question to ask, again, is where do we go from here? And sometimes that question is not easily answered. We don't have an upfront answer. It's not about doing what we want. There's a lot of things that all of us want to see happen within our church. But we've got to bow to the will of God. It's about doing what God wants us to do. The Bible says that we are to have what? The mind of Christ. Which basically means that we need to know what Jesus is thinking. So we need to have the mind of Christ here this morning. Paul had an MO, a mode of operation. He did things consistently the same way. And all of a sudden, Paul comes up against something that he's not used to, because he would go from city to city. He would go into the synagogues. He would go into the marketplace. He would preach. He would begin a home church and then build that up and then move on. And so Paul had a plan. And all of a sudden, it is interrupted by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it safe to say that we want to be hope, right? Hindered by the Holy Spirit doing what we want to do so that we can do what he wants to do. So Paul had a systematic approach to ministry, and all of a sudden, things begin to change. We're going to go on in Luke chapter 16. We're going to start with verse 6. And again, I want you to see that Paul is launching out with a new team. Silas is there, Timothy is there, and Luke is there. And Luke is both an observer, he is a recorder, he is a historian, and he is recording what is taking place in the ministry of Paul. And of course, he's the writer of the entire book of Acts. And so I want you to see that the pronouns change, okay? Because they change from they to we. Because church isn't about they over there doing this or that. It's about us as a church, we doing it together. Is that understandable? So we'll read it here. Paul and his companions, notice he says his companions. So Luke isn't actually involving himself at the beginning of this writing here. And he says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So we see that the Holy Spirit interrupts Paul's plans. It says, when they came to the border of Misery, they tried near, I'm making these up because I don't know how to pronounce them, and you don't know either, so don't judge me, all right, they tried to enter Bertha. How's that? Is that close? But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Misery and went towards Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Notice the transition from they, them, us, okay, to we. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready. So I don't know if at this time that Luke is just joining them, or he just kind of started out in the third person and now he's doing it personal. I don't know. But all of a sudden, we see it switching from this is what they're doing to what we are doing. So Luke is coming on board with what Paul's doing. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for that place. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. So you see the transition that took place. So we also know that Paul had a method in his madness, all right? He just had a MO that he constantly did. Up to that point, it was successful. And at that time, God continued to bless his ministry. He would methodically go from city to city. Then he would go into the synagogues and the marketplace and preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit had other plans for Paul and his team. He wanted to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to go into Asia. I don't want you to go into Misery. I don't want you to go into Bithynia. I don't want you to go there. And so every time he felt like this is what he wanted to do, because this was his MO, this is what he always did, the Holy Spirit saying, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. And so he keeps traveling, and he finds himself in Troas. It is a port city. And so while in Troas, Paul was given a vision and saw a man from Macedonia pleading with him to come over there and help them. So they boarded a boat and went to Macedonia. You need to understand here today that Macedonia is basically Europe, all right? Paul wanted to go into Asia, and God said, no, I want you to go into Europe. We don't know what was going on. We don't know why God had in mind that they shouldn't go into Asia, if there was something going on, or if those in Europe were ready to hear the gospel. We don't know. But all we know, this was the leading of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Paul. Paul was led to Europe, but he would later go to Asia. He would go into those cities. So what we're finding out, that God had a plan and God had a timetable. Yes, Paul was used by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Paul usually had a plan. And he pretty much did the same thing, but now he was being led to the specific places that God wanted him to minister. So where do we go from here? At Chapel, we have dreams yet to be fulfilled. We have to get to the place for where it changes from they, because I had a conversation with someone this week about even the planting of TC Church, Transformation Church. And the truth was, not everybody in the church, they may have given financially, but they weren't all involved in planting that church. There were some theys that believed in that vision, and they planted that church. And so the idea would be that we, that we as a whole would be on board with the plan. Yes, the church did that, yes, but we don't want it to be a they. We want it to be a we from here on out where we're heading. We want everybody on the same page. So I don't know if you remember a while back. How many of you know there's some things on our wall? They're just decorations now because we haven't talked to them for a while, and it's just kind of part of the scenery. But we have a dream, all right? This is not from the movie Tangled, right? We have a dream. But we do have a dream, all right? And we look here, we dream of a church where healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding friendships. That is a dream. I want to share with you that we have had a family in this church that served here for over a decade. They're involved in our ministries of our church. He served on the board of our church for 2 terms that I was here. And yet, I had a conversation with him. They left the church because he said, I don't have any friends in that church. They were here over a decade or more, serving, and yet he tells me he did not have a friend in the church. That shows me that we need some healthy fellowship here. We need to develop some genuine and rewarding friendships. That is not a compliment to our church. If he would have said, your preaching stinks, that would have been a different story. But see, that puts it on all of us. So we dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience leading to contagious expressions of freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. That's one of our goals. And one of the second things he had said to me was he didn't really connect with our Pentecostal experience. That's okay. How many know that we've had people come in and out and they have a hard time with our worship service because it's not so formal, right? Because we want to be open and free in the Holy Spirit to allow him to do what he wants to. Amen. So we have a dream of a church where discipleship is a strategic cycle of mentoring, resulting in leadership development and evangelism. One of the board members that was used to bring us to this church, I'm not going to tell your name in case you want to stone him, but he stopped coming because he felt like we were emphasizing worship over discipleship. that the Word of God was taking second place to our worship. So do we need help? Do we need to develop a greater and better discipleship program? We have barely anybody coming for Sunday school. We barely have anybody on a Tuesday night. Our kids' ministry is exploding. I'm not saying it's not being used. A couple weeks ago, we had an individual give their life to Jesus Christ. Our adults. We know with our kids and our youth, they have pretty much a regular testimony of God changing lives there. Kids getting saved. Teenagers getting saved. But as adults, what are we doing? Have you stopped developing? Have you stopped growing? You know, listening to the radio and watching Christian TV is not discipleship. Discipleship is getting together, breaking the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, allowing it to change our lives so that what we can present it and change somebody else's life. Amen. That's what we want to do, because discipleship turns into evangelism. We dream of a church where the call to serve is an exciting opportunity for selfless obedience to fulfill God's purpose. You know, sometimes we find out that some of the places that we kind of find open doors for serving isn't kind of what we want to do. But how many know that sometimes you got to serve where you're at? You got to serve where the need is. And so, like preschool, we have some need for some preschool teachers. We've gained a bunch of nursery workers, but we need our kids for preschool on a Sunday morning. Somebody to care and love on our kids on Sunday. We're not even asking anybody for full time. We're asking them once every 4 or 5 weeks to kind of join us in helping carry the load and ministering to our kids. So there are opportunities. And so many opportunities are probably sitting on this, in these chairs here this morning that haven't even been birthed yet. God has placed within you a dream. You say, well, we're not doing that, so you're not involved. But how about if you step out in faith and say, hey, God's given me a dream, and allow us to come alongside you and give you that opportunity. Hey, God has some good things. We dream of a church where evangelism is consistently taught with passion and practice in an intentional, fun. Yeah, we revisit that one, don't we? In a life-changing way. These are our dreams, but we're looking for the reality of this to happen. These are dreams. And how many know that dreams aren't reality? Dreams are dreams. Until we walk into those dreams, we work those dreams, then they become a reality for us. We have not arrived at all these places. I'm just being honest with you here today. There are some holes in what we're doing and who we are. And so I said it was a missions message, and it is. Because going is the fulfillment of all these other things. That is the completion of discipleship. If you are a disciple, you should be discipling others in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the bottom line. If we do everything else but that, we're still not a disciple. In a legitimate definition here. So, what am I talking about here today? As a pastor at Chapel on the Hill, I have two dreams for 2026. Two opportunities, okay? Which I believe are Macedonian calls. And they have to do with that last one, missions going. And so here I'm going to give them to you. Number one, we want to expand our missions vision. I believe we could do better in missions. I believe that a lot of individuals within the church do not have a vision for missions. I believe there are a good many that do, but this is something that we're going to expand on, something we're going to talk about, something we're going to preach about, and offer opportunities for you to be involved. And so this year, one of the things that we're doing starting in January, we're taking a trip to Trinidad. We're partnering with Obadiah and Janola. Barnabas Ministry, how many know that has expanded has extended its foundation. How many know to other churches? How many know they have a pretty solid, where they're not depending just on one local body, but they are being ministered to, supported by, prayed for. Teams are going right from many, many other churches at this point. And that's the way it should be. And so what I want to see happen is I want us to see expand our horizon. Since Barnabas Ministry has been established, we're going to continue to support it. We're going to continue to do what we can for them. But I want to expand that. Again, one of my desires was to expand to a new work. My vision is to seek out new partners in new works in new places around the world. That is my desire. And I believe the greatest church growth comes from those that are starting a new work. Church planting are the fastest growing churches in the world. Established churches are nosediving. But new planted churches are growing, and people want to be part of something that is moving, something that is growing. There's momentum there. So when Obadiah was here a couple years ago and he spoke in our service, I had asked him about us taking a team. And we tried to put something together. He said it wouldn't work for them that first year. And so I kind of laid it to rest. I didn't think about it anymore. And then he called and said, hey, are you still interested in bringing a team down? Because they received a Macedonian call. They already have a church, but in a new neighborhood, there's a community center that is closer to their home, as I understand. And they gave them the opportunity where the manager of that facility said, I want you to come, and I want you to minister to the kids and even hold services in our building. And to me, that's a Macedonian call. Amen. And so I had just given it to the Lord, and we just kind of left it, and then this arose. And we can see a divine connection that God, by the Holy Spirit, began to put the parts together. And we didn't do anything about it. We just kind of put it to bed. But God was working behind the scenes. So we have a connection there. We are investing in their ministry. And so now we're not only just going to give financially, but we're going to give prayerfully. We're going to give our time, and we're going to give our effort. And so what we're looking at is not just going there a one-shot deal, but allowing them and helping them establish what this new work that's starting in this new community. And so that's kind of one of my goals. That's what I feel is a Macedonian call for us, and it's a privilege and an honor. One of the things he said, we would be the first missionary team to partner with them, that brings the team down to help them establish their ministry. You have the video handy there. Chris, are we set up for a video?
Hello to everyone on Chapel on the Hill. My name is Janola Clark. I am Reverend Obadiah Clark's wife, and we are so excited to have our first missionary come to Trinidad in January of 2026. And we are thankful that God has laid upon you guys heart, you know, to come and just interact with the people here and share the love of Jesus. And I am going to have Reverend Obadiah Clark now take over and give you an up-to-date on what we have been doing here in Trinidad and Tobago.
About a year ago, somebody that I met in the gym started talking about this community center that they work with and the kids that they work with in the community center that is by where we live. And they asked me to come and speak to the kids and stuff. And I said, sure, we can do that. And we were in the midst of getting our Christmas food hampers ready. And so we had some Christmas food hampers that we gave to some of the families that are part of the community center that are in need. And that was our first initial start working with the community center. And then as we started working with them, the director asked if we would come and do some things with the community center. So we decided to do a sports and game night. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing the sports and game night, I think it's about 6 months, maybe a little bit over 6 months. We've been every once a month on a Friday night, the last Friday of every month, we go and we do a sports and game night for the kids. And we share about Jesus at the very end. And we've been doing that to build relationship with the kids, to build a relationship in the community and with the parents. And so we want to do more of that. And we want to do eventually, Lord willing, as relationships build and God enables us, we'll eventually do some services there at the community center. We want to do some movie nights. We're working to doing maybe a service here and there. And eventually, as the Lord enables us, we want to start another church within the community center. But the community center is actually in disrepair. Now, the government has built the community center for the community, but they do not take care of the community center. Mm-hmm. And they leave it on the directors of the community center to come up with money to try to fix the building and take care of the maintenance and stuff like that, but it's not always possible. And a lot of the community centers, not just this one and Gasparillo, not just this community center, but a lot of the community centers are in disrepair because the government builds a building and allows it to go the way it goes, right? And so one of the things that you're going to see is we're going to show you some videos now of what we've been doing with the kids and also the building and some of the painting that needs to be done in the building. And there's lots of work, but I know as you guys come down and do the painting, actually that's one of the things that the director said that they need most, right? Because for them to be able to create revenue, the building has to look presentable for them to be able to rent it out for weddings and different functions and stuff like that, right? So that's one of the things that she was concerned about. So by you guys coming down and helping with that, the community center will be able to make more repairs, to make money, to help the community even more. And so that is one of the goals, is for us to be able to reach out through the love of Jesus throughout this community and see people come to Jesus just by showing tangible love and helping them. And you guys get to be a part of that. Amen. And I'm excited to have the church that I grew up in come down to be our first mission trip in Trinidad and Tobago. And we want to thank you guys for your love and for your support. And now here's the video of the community center and the kids.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
hello to everyone on Chapel on the Hill. My name is Janola.
Hallelujah. So we send a team down. There's 10 of us going, possibly a few more, depending on their schedule and how they're working things out. But we're excited about what God's doing. It's a big project. So we're still working out details. We've got over half the money for materials for the paint and stuff to get it done. So we're excited about having the opportunity to serve the Lord there. There will be a kids crusade for the weekend. Some of the ladies will be preparing that and getting that ready to do that. So we are going to present in the future some other opportunities for you to come and be part of that. And so we're excited about the first team going, and we're excited about what God's going to do. So that's one of our visions for 226, is to begin a process of partnering with Obadiah and Janola in their ministry down there. My second Macedonian call comes from planning a dinner church here in Emlinton. And I know there's some people that are questioning what all that is about. But in the spring, we had Gary Bellis came and spoke, and he shared the vision of the vision church, or the dinner church. And after that, a number of us, there was probably about, six to eight of us that went down and actually went through training there at the campground. And they're excited about what this means for our church, what we're going to do for our community. We have, especially those that live in Emlinton, we have a core group of individuals there that can't wait to kind of get this thing started. And so we have begun the process. We have written three grants. We're going to be applying for another grant to underwrite this. We're not talking about a church like we're having here on a Sunday morning. We're talking about serving a dinner and presenting Christ. And so it's about an hour, hour and a half at the most. We won't have a worship team. We won't have all that kind of stuff. It's just very simply sitting down at a table, ministering to people, building relationships with people, and presenting Jesus Christ out of the Gospels. And so that's what this is. Eli probably described it best at our board member when he said it's a ministry outreach. So if the planning a church thing, you're thinking like TC, kind of erase that out of your mind. It's not like that at all. All right? And so I just want to encourage you. You're welcome to come aboard. We have information back on the back table there. We put some booklets together. If you're interested or you kind of want to have a better understanding about it, we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to ask questions. And so we've got opportunity here. We have maybe possibly the Civic Club is opening up their facility for us to use. If we can have, we're going to be still trying to figure out other facilities that we could possibly use in town. And so we're excited about that. We can partner with our district, who also will allow funds to be made in establishing and kicking off a dinner church. So I know that doesn't turn a lot of people on. You're just thinking that's more work, but church, we don't have an outreach. Name me one outreach that we are actually going into the community and doing. We're not. We have built it. We have built a building here. We have ministries here. I thank God that we have workers that are working those ministries. People are coming in. They are getting saved. But he didn't say build it and they'll come. He said go. And so this is an opportunity for us to do that. Why do we want to attempt to plan this kind of a dinner church? First, they're not interested in coming here. We are tying the dinner church to our food bank. And so we have a number of individuals. We had over, 100 families that came in. This is the largest crowd we've had in a while. But none of them are here in our church, and you've been ministering to them for how many? Decade or more? Okay. And where are they? Right? So I'm just putting this out here. I'm just kind of letting you, people aren't being attracted to traditional church services. And so we're going to try a new avenue. We're going to try a new method of trying to reach them and going to them instead of them coming to us. Secondly, those that have come in for the food bank, we have brought it back inside from COVID, where it was just drive-through. And we have individuals that are here. But the problem is they aren't coming because of the relationship they have with us. It's because we're providing a service. We are giving them something. They are not coming because they have a relationship with us. Because if we would move this down to anywhere else, they would still come because it's a service. And so what we want to change that around, and that's what Dinner Church does. It brings us down to a place where we're sitting at a table and we're having a relationship with them. And the emphasis is on food and relationships. And that's what we all like. Amen. Many of you will be gathering with families this coming holiday season, right? In a couple weeks. And who will you be? Why are you gathering? There's food. And there is fellowship. That's why you gather at those holiday seasons. So it's time for us to go to their turf. And so I'm looking at this as our Macedonian calls for 2026. We're not looking at starting the Dinner Church pie until possibly the fall. So we're getting all our ducks in order. We're going to do training. We're going to try to get as many of you involved as possible. We're not asking you as church members to go down there and have church. This is formally just an outreach for those who don't know Jesus, but we do need people to partner with us to sit at the table and build relationships with strangers. How many know that out of a relationship, strangers become friends? And so the Macedonian call, come over to Macedonia and help us. You know, sometimes people don't want help because they don't know they need help. And how many know people don't realize they need Jesus until they're told that they need Jesus? Until you give them the gospel. And so that's what we want to do. We want to present to people that maybe have no consideration of God, don't care about God, don't have no interest in God, but we want to present a Jesus that the Holy Spirit, the message of the Holy Spirit can use to what? Change their minds, to change their hearts. So the Great Commission calls us to go. And so this is to the Macedonian calls. These are two of the things that I want to see happen this coming year. And we don't want it to be where do we go from here, where we want to go. We look back and we see that Luke changed it from they to we. And so we're going to try to sell you on this for the next coming year. We're going to try to present it in a way that you understand. If you don't understand, ask questions, right? And so we're asking you to join us in this partnership, all right? So this is the mission message for our month. Next week we will be having a missions offering, but we'll be talking somewhere along the line of the holiday Thanksgiving. So let's pray. Father, we come into this house today with just the idea, Lord, that we want to do what you want to do. Father, it's not always about us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about what we like, what we don't like. But Father, you saved us. You saved us. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says that we're saved by faith. What? And then it goes on in verse 10 and says that we are your workmanship, created for good works in you. And Father, I pray that we will understand that our role is to do good works because we have been saved. And Father, we live in an area where the gospel needs to be shared. We live in a place, Lord, where churches are in decline. And we do pray for each and every church. We pray, Father, that you will give them leadership, that you will give them vision, that you will once again bring revival to each congregation. But Father, we also know that just because we have a building on the corner doesn't mean that people are going to come. And so, Father, help us realize, God, that you have commissioned us to go. You have called us to the Great Commission. And so, as we close this service out here today, I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you here this morning to not just say, well, that's what they're doing. They. No, we want you to grab the vision with us. We want it to be a we vision, not a they vision. And so, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to percolate this thing in our heart, Lord. Help us to do the work established to see these things happen. We thank you for this body of believers that are generous in so many different ways. We pray that you will bless them back as they invest, Lord, in your kingdom, that you will continually, God, open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon them, Lord, for their faithfulness and because of their compassion and their giving. And so, Father, we just close this service today. Again, we don't want to leave the service that I know it's a mission-oriented service, and today the mission is Jesus Christ. And we want everybody, even in this building, to know Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, we always want to give that opportunity for you to receive Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a chapel thing. It's a worldwide thing. The Great Commission is for everybody, for every nation, every culture, every tongue. And you're included in that here this morning. So, Father, I just pray today, if there's anybody here, is anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ and would like to give their heart to Christ, we just want to give you that opportunity here this morning. If you don't know Christ or you need prayer in a specific area of your life, we definitely want to pray with you here this morning. Anybody this morning would raise their hand and say yes. So, all right. Father, we do love you today, and we just pray that, Lord, as we go out this day, and the sun is shining, and it's beautiful. It didn't start that way, but Lord, we're grateful that this is the day that you have made, and we are going to be rejoicing in it, and we are going to give you the praise and the glory, and we pray a blessing upon those who support this missions trip, Lord, again, that as we go their way, Lord, we're praying that blessings will come upon them in return. We love you, Lord, and we once again ask, give us the opportunity to minister when we have the opportunity, and we pray in your name.